A short break from our study of the parables and do this thing about uncovering our passion. It's just to be one service, but it will take a couple of weeks break from our parables. But at any rate, I want us to uncover our passion. Now, I want to first of all define what I mean when I'm talking about a passion. Maybe you've got another word for it. Perhaps it's like you've heard me use the term purpose before. What is your purpose? Or maybe it's your calling. Or maybe it's your goal or your vision. Whatever you term or however you phrase it, what it is what God has put inside of you to find and accomplish total fulfillment in your life. Jesus' passion was that cross. Now, other translations translate that suffering. Now, that is one way to identify your passion because you will suffer for your passion. When you understand your passion, you will accept persecution. You will receive it. You'll accept it. You'll go on through it. But you'll understand that there will be persecution and suffering to fulfill your passion because it's that important to you. It's that real to you. So Jesus came and he had a passion, and his passion was that cross. And after he went to that cross, then he was able to fulfill the rest of his ministry. But that was the passion that Jesus had to do. No matter what else, good things, wonderful things that Jesus Christ did, and he did so many, but until he did that one thing, until that thing was fulfilled in his life, he didn't fulfill the reason he was born. And your passion is the reason you were born. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, and he destroyed them on the cross by his blood. There is something for you to do that you were born with. It's like a magnet that's down on the inside of your gut, and it continuously draws you in a direction, draws you towards something. But your passion isn't my passion. And my passion isn't your passion. But we all have a passion. Now, here is the definition of the passion. Passion is the God-given desire of the heart to make a difference. And we could add there a difference in the kingdom of God. But it is the God-given desire of the heart to make a difference. You were born to make a difference. Jesus said you are the salt of the earth. You're to make a difference. He said you are the light of the world. You are to make a difference. You weren't born just to exist, live 70 years or whatever, and give up the ghost and go to heaven. You are here to do something, and that is your passion. What is your passion? I was in Haiti some time ago, not long ago, but I showed you pictures and I shared with you. I went over there to do a kingdom conference. I was over there preaching at a conference that taught the kingdom of God. And after I had taught the kingdom of God, I got to ride around the nation with Leonard Zebarth, who is a missionary. And I shared with you in one particular community that we came to that was very poverty stricken. And this little pastor taking me into his church and showing me his church. It was a little structure with a tin top and just board sides. And he was so excited that I was there seeing his church. And he took me to the back of his church where it was a little open-air place in the back where he was educating his children in his church and trying to get them an education. And he was trying to teach them in school. And he was trying to provide for them one meal a day of all the kids in this community. And then he took me to his little house. And he was so proud of his little house. And he had just constructed him two brand-new outhouses. Two brand new toilets on the outside. And he was so happy that he had his own toilets. And then he wanted me to come into his little house. And he had just added a new room onto his house. And he wanted me to come into his house. And I really didn't want to go into his house. And he wanted me to come into his house. And Pastor Zeboth said, "Come on in, Delbert. He wants you to come into his house." I said, "Okay, I'll come in." I went into his house. It was just a dirt floor in a little 12 by 12 room. And I went into his house. And I began to weep. I was literally moved with compassion. I began to cry because in the corners were these little blankets and these little cots where he had conceived, birthed, and raised five children. And I was sitting there comparing him to me, and I have so much. I have gotten all this stuff that I've gotten, and here he is so very, very proud. so very poverty-stricken. A couple of days later, I boarded an airplane. I flew back to the States. And a couple of days later, I'm back into my system of ministering to the church that I serve and to you and to ministering and doing my studies and my teachings and those kinds of things. I'm back into my flow again. And I've seldom thought about that poor little pastor in Haiti, working so diligently to feed those kids, educate those kids, and living in that little poverty-stricken place. Seldom have I thought about him. Does that make me a bad person? I hope not. And here's the point of that story, is to tell us that we all can't care about everything equally. We can't care about everything equally. And if we're not cautious, now hear me, if we're not cautious and find out what our particular and individual God-given passion is, we'll end up serving someone else's passion and never fulfilling our own. That was Pastor Zeebarth's passion. He has a tremendous passion for the nation of Haiti. He has a tremendous passion for these little children. He has a tremendous passion. And God, I honor him. I honor his passion. I support his passion. We support those children every year. We give to Pastor Zeebarth. He'll be here in a couple of months. But we are totally supporting his passion. My caller's coming up. We're totally supporting his passion. But at the same time, we've got to find our own passion and fulfill it. Okay? Does it make us a bad person because we're not into someone else's passion? That's not what we're drawn to? I hope not. Now, in the church, sometimes somebody will have a tremendous passion for particular things, and we don't have that passion, and if we're not cautious, we'll feel inferior if we get around them because they make us feel bad because they've got a passion and we don't. Let's use some examples. Say someone is called to the youth ministry, and they're saying, man, we've got to do something for our kids. We need places in our area, in our region, where kids can enjoy themselves and get together. We need to get these churches together so that we can provide some youth ministry for these people, for these children, because they don't have anything to do here. Now, is that a good thing? But you don't feel that same passion. You don't feel that same drawing. But can you support that person's passion? But just because you don't feel like that, does that make you a bad person? No. Let's go on. How about, say, feeding the homeless? Say someone has a passion for the homeless people and they want to have a soup kitchen. And people have approached me before and wanted to have a soup kitchen or some kind of shelter for the homeless. Well, first of all, I don't think we have that many homeless in this region. But if we did, would that be a good thing to do? But because I don't feel that passion, can I support that person's passion? But do I feel like I'm a bad person because I don't have the passion that they have? And we can go on. We can make this list. This list is endless. We could talk about a right to life, or we could talk about politically involved with politics, or we could come with say someone has a passion for the elderly. Are those good things? We could say someone has a passion for music, and they say, man, music is the thing. Music is the bridge that bridges from the soul to the spirit, and we've got to have music. Is music good? But if you're tone deaf like me, and you can't play a note on an instrument like me, is that your passion? No, but should I be able to contribute to that? Sure. So what we have then is understanding that we're different. Are you understanding we're different? God has made us different. Doesn't mean we're a bad people or a bad person, but what it does mean is we have the right of God, the right by God to be different. Now, Paul was addressing this in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want to look at this on the overhead. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4 says, now there are diversities of gift, but the same what? Spirit. Are our gifts different? Do you have a different gift than I've got? Most likely. There are diversities, there are differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then he says, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Because you don't do things like I do them, or I don't do things like you do them. I don't administer like you do, and you don't administer like I do. Am I a bad person? Or are you a bad person? Are we wrong? No. But we have the same Lord. Spirit, Lord. Now look at this in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God. Now what do we have here? We have the Spirit, we have the Lord, and we have God. Am I right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have this, and they allow us to be different. In fact, they want us to be different. You know what? In fact, they created us to be different. I have a God-given right to be different. And my name is Delbert Young, and I am not normal. Diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now look at this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Who profits from our being different? Everybody. Listen, if I can help you uncover your passion, if I can get you pointed in a direction to fulfill your passion, do you know that I will profit? I'm going to say it again. If I help you uncover your passion, I get you on track to fulfill your passion, do you know that I will profit? Do you know that this ministry will profit? Do you know that the kingdom of God will profit? Do you know that this entire region will profit if I can help you unfold and uncover your passion? Now let's use this another way. Do you know that you allowing me to be me, to be different, to be Delbert, if you allow me to be me, you'll profit? Do you allow, do you understand that you're allowing me to be me in teaching such as the temperament studies, as in the book of Revelation studies, come on, as in the John studies? You've profited. You have profited from that because you've allowed me to fulfill my passion. You haven't made me conform to an image or your image of what a preacher or a pastor is to do. You've let me be me, and therefore you've profited. How many of us will profit if we'll all just find our passion? All of us. You'll profit if I find mine. You'll profit if that person to your right or to your left finds theirs. You'll profit if we find our passions. To profit with all. We have God-given abilities. And if we'll find them, we'll profit. Now,